Chapter 35. Christine's writ of habeas corpus ad testificandum was filed in the Circuit Court of Hickman County, where it was immediately signed by Judge Prelate, and then it was sent by courier to Chicago, care of Cook County Jail. By 7 a.m. the next morning, two burly Cook County Sheriff's Department deputies pulled up in front of the Hickman County Jail and delivered Hector Ransom to the temporary custody of the Hickman County Sheriff for delivery to the court when it convened at 9 a.m. Simple enough, thought Thaddeus, who would be forever grateful to Christine for the whole idea. Court was convened, and Thaddeus called Hector Ransom as his first witness. Hector was escorted into the courtroom and down the long aisle by two deputies. He was wearing Cook County orange, flip-flops with socks and handcuffs. When they crossed through the swinging gates, they removed his handcuffs so he could take the oath. He was sworn and sat down in the witness chair, dramatically rubbing his wrists, as if he might have a lawsuit against the sheriff for brutality. His face was anything but friendly, and Thaddeus guessed he hadn't been sleeping much since being taken into custody in Chicago. Finally, he forgot about his wrists and looked around. He blinked. He looked at Ermeline, who only glared at him. If looks could kill. "State your name," Thaddeus began.
"Hector Ransom."
"Mr. Ransom, what is your usual occupation?"
"Welder."
"Where do you reside?"
"Cook County Jail. Used to be Lorelei Arms Hotel in Chicago, but I've been evicted from there for no rent."
"And how long have you been in the Cook County Jail?"
"Ever since you sent Christine to talk to me, same night."
"That's been several days, then?" Hector looked around the room. He looked at the ceiling, thinking.
"I don't want to talk about that. My public defender says I shouldn't talk about the credit card stuff."
Thaddeus looked at the jury. They were rapt, paying close attention. Good. "What credit card stuff are you talking about?"
"I think you know that."
"But the jury doesn't know. Please, tell the jury about the charges you're facing."
"Well, the cops say I took Ermeline's credit card."
"Ermeline Ransom, your ex-wife?"
"Yep, right there beside you."
"Did you take her credit card?"
"No. I haven't seen her in over a year. How could I?"
Thaddeus looked hard at the witness. He tried to bore into him with his eyes. He could feel the anger rising in his chest, burning like someone who had been betrayed. "You haven't seen her in over a year?"
"No, sir."
"But that's not what you told Christine, was it?"
"I don't know. I don't know what I told that bitch. Can I say that?"
Judge Prelate gave the witness an icy stare.
"You can. You are allowed to express yourself in my courtroom. It might help the jury understand who you are and what you can tell us about the case." "Well, she come up to my room. I had a date that night, and she all but broke in. Made my date wait in the hall. Naked, too."
"Did you discuss Ermeline's case with her?"
"Nope. She only asked me about the credit card and about some gun. I told her I didn't know nothing about no gun. Period."
"What happened then?"
"She threatened me, but I wouldn't budge. Bitch, don't scare me."
"Christine Sussman you're talking about?"
"That's the one."
"My paralegal and secretary."
"If you say so."
Thaddeus stood and crossed to the clerk's desk. He lifted the silver gun for Hector to see. "Ever seen this gun before?"
"I don't know. Probably not. I ain't much on guns."
"But it's true, is it not, that you planted this gun in Ermeline Ransom's house a few months ago?"
"Hell no. Why would I do that?"
"That's what I'd like to ask you. Why would you do that?"
"I didn't do that. I have never seen that gun before, and I bet it ain't got my fingerprints on it. Am I right?"
"You are right. So you wiped your prints off the gun when you planted it, correct?"
"Hell no."
"You were wearing gloves when you handled the gun, correct?"
"Hell no."
Hector smiled. He was beginning to warm to this cat-and-mouse game. Thaddeus could feel the blood rising in his neck and face. He was angry, and his hands clenched into fists. He would love to attack this son of a bitch and pummel him for all the trouble and horror he'd caused Ermeline and, indirectly, Thaddeus too. Not to mention getting shot and almost dying on his front porch. Not to mention the trouble Hector had caused his own son, Jamie, who had been separated from his mother for 4 months now. "You rotten son of a bitch," he thought. "I'm going to nail your ass." "Your Honor," Thaddeus said suddenly, "can we take the morning recess now?"
"We may, although it's early. Let's return at 10 o'clock. We're adjourned."
Thaddeus ducked out of the courtroom and limped quickly back to his office. He dragged the bum leg up the stairs with the cane. He explained to Christine how Hector was totally lying on the stand. Evidently, he had been told the recorded statement couldn't be used in court, and he was just going to make up whatever came to him at any moment. Christine became enraged, and then had an idea. She told Thaddeus what she thought they should do. Thaddeus hurried back to court, a grim smile on his face. This should be fun, he thought. Let's get this done. Christine Sussman walked quickly across the street and up the courthouse steps. She hurried inside and went through the security checkpoint. The red gym bag she was carrying went through X-ray. The deputies unzipped it and looked inside.
There's nothing there, they commented.
She told them she knew that. She told them she would be filling it with her boss's legal papers when she left. They nodded they understood and let her through. She went up the double stairs and through the double doors of the Hickman County courtroom. Court was not yet in session. She walked right up to the bar and through the swinging gate. She took a seat in the lawyer's row, where she had a direct line of sight to Hector. She placed the large red bag on her lap and sat back. This should be interesting. Judge Prelate met with two out-of-town attorneys and their client in the conference room while the morning recess proceeded. He heard the uncontested divorce they had brought for him and signed the divorce decree. Justice was once again done in Hickman County, Judge Prelate thought with a sigh. It was a mindless, never-ending game, the divorce racket. Deep down he hated it, and he wished the legislature would take divorce out of the courts and make it a simple civil matter. File the papers with the clerk, and the clerk issues the divorce decree. Some days he thought otherwise, but today he was sick of it. Then it was time to convene court, and he went back to his place on the bench. Hector Ransom was returned to the witness stand. It was only when he was seated and looking around that he first noticed Christine Sussman, and with the red bag. The same one she had brought to his room and shocked him with, the same one she had threatened to wire his testicles if he didn't get real and get honest then and there. Sweat broke out on his forehead, and his underarms were instantly clammy. Damn, he thought. Who let this maniac in here? Then he couldn't control himself, and his hands began to shake. She was less than 15 feet from him, and she had the cattle prod in her bag. How in the hell had they let her into the court with that? Thaddeus began again. Mr. Ransom, during the break, have you had a chance to think back over any of the questions I've asked you?
Yes, he said, his voice subdued and meek. There's some stuff I need to change.
Thaddeus looked over at the jury.
Like what? Miss Sussman there. I believe I might have told her I planted the gun in Ermeline's house.
A gasp shot up from the jury, and the spectators in the courtroom could be heard commenting as the information passed along the rows of gawkers. Thaddeus could feel Ermeline stiffen beside him and then release. She was instantly shaking, choking down her sobs, holding back a flood of tears. At last, the truth was going to come out. At last she had hope again of seeing her little boy grow up and to be there while it happened.
Hold it. You're now telling us you planted the gun? I was drinking. It's all hazy to me, but yeah, I left the gun in her closet.
In a towel closet.
That's right.
And how did her fingerprints get on the gun if you left it there?
While she was sleeping, I just placed her hand around the gun like this.
He mimicked lifting and closing another's hand. The jury instantly got the idea. Now, Hector, I want to ask you this, and I want you to think long and hard about it. Where did you get the gun?
See, that's just it. These men came and found me in Louisiana. I was working there. I was minding my own business. I was trying to earn enough to pay my child support. They made me come back to orbit, and one of them gave me the gun. They told me to do it.
What are their names?
I only knew one. Johnny Bladani. They call him the Blade.
Johnny the Blade Bladani.
That's it. He gave me the gun and said to hide it in her house. He said to get her prints on it while she was sleeping. He said to bring the $5,500 back to him.
What $5,500?
The $5,500 I used to get her to trust me. I told her I just wanted to be there Christmas morning when Jamie woke up.
And she trusted you?
She did. I wouldn't trust me, but she did.
So, you participated in a conspiracy to commit murder. Thaddeus said it as a statement of fact, not as a question. He looked at the jury. They were on the edges of their chairs. Good. Time to bring down the hammer. When you planted the gun, Did you know it had been used to murder Victor Harrow?
I sort of knew.
What do you mean you sort of knew?
I asked him what the gun was for. I wanted to make sure they weren't going to hurt Ermeline. I still love her very much.
Damn. Sorry, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
You loved her enough to help frame her for murder.
If that's how you want to look at it.
And you put the knife there, too?
Same deal. Got her prints, hid the knife. I didn't hide them very well. I wanted them to be found.
Those are all the questions for now. Judge Prelate had a very troubled look on his face. His forehead was deeply furrowed, and his glasses were on his nose, where they meant business.
You may cross-examine, Miss Barr.
Thank you,
said Rolanda Barr, who swept to her feet ready for battle. She thought she understood what had brought about Hector's sudden switch in stories, and she was going to rip right into the heart of it and expose this fraud.
Hector, you're afraid of Christine Sussman, aren't you?
Yes.
Why?
That bag. That's her sitting right there, and that's the same bag she used on me.
What did you mean? She injured you with the bag?
She's got a cattle prod in there. She said she would use it on my balls.
She has a cattle prod inside that red bag on her lap.
Christine Sussman smiled and shrugged. She almost held the bag up for the court to see inside, but managed to restrain herself.
Counsel,
said Judge Prelate,
please bring the bag to the bailiff. Mr. Bailiff, please open the bag and inventory the contents.
Thaddeus carried the bag to the bailiff, who made quick work of unzipping it along the top. He looked inside. Empty, he said. Judge Prelate leaned across his desk. He indicated he wanted the bailiff to lift the bag and show him the inside. The bailiff brought the bag to the judge, who spread the top open and peered inside.
Counsel, he said to Thaddeus, do you wish to have the bag marked as an exhibit?
I don't think that's necessary, Your Honor, but I would like to display it to the jury. Let them pass it around and see it's empty. Harmless, you could say.
Very well. You may hand the bag to the jury.
During this time, S.A.A.G. Barr had taken her seat and appeared to be lost in her note-taking.
Nothing further, she managed. No further questions.
Counsel, may this witness be excused?
He may, said Thaddeus. I'm sure he's anxious to return to jail.
I'm sure I see Mr. Irwin in the back of the courtroom. My guess is our district attorney will have something to say about this entire scheme. Perhaps bring charges against Mr. Ransom and his gang.
All eyes swung to the back of the courtroom, where D.A. Quentin Irwin Jr. was standing right inside the door watching. Thaddeus had tipped him off that he wouldn't want to miss Hector's testimony when court reconvened. Quentin tossed off a small salute to the crowd and smiled. He loved the voters. He nodded. Everyone understood that new wheels were already turning right here in orbit. When all had settled back down, Judge Prelate said to Thaddeus,
Counsel, you may call your next witness.
Your Honor, defense rests.